Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome, Chatterboxers. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name is Ara.
And over there running the show is not Andrew this week. It used to be the AAA. Did we have a name for ourselves? Like Alon, Ara, and Andrew?
Well, we were a AAA team.
That was kind of neat, but now we've got a Z, right?
So now we're an AAZ team.
Is that... No. YYZ is the song that's in...
Close.
In Guitar Hero 2. All right, so... Alon, Ara, and Zach now.
We're the HZ team.
Now is, thank you. Thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Well, thank you for being here. Is this going to be a permanent gig for you?
It's hard to determine. You know, our discussion at the beginning of the show, so...
Did Andrew leave forever, though? Are we never going to see Andrew again?
No, he should be back around. He's conducting some business, you know, in San Bernardino.
Andrew is always conducting.
That's a shady
business.
Place. That San Bernardino,
Rancho Cucamonga.
You never know what's going on there. There's like earthquakes. There's like I don't know what.
Andrew's been an enigma since day one, but that's all right. We will move on. Have a wonderful show without him, even if he leaves and doesn't say goodbye and leave a card or anything like that. Now, as we do every week, we'll be talking about some video games. I this whole week really any video game I played, I just played one. Right, I've been playing Catan. If I had a free moment, I was playing Catan.
You're a Catan addict, I think, dude.
Well, I just like the game. Now, of course, I've got my issue with some areas of it. Like, for instance, I quickly became relatively highly ranked. You know, at least considering you start level 1, right, and I go to level 17 real fast because I knew what I was doing. Now, all of a sudden, I'm playing against people who don't suck, and I'm totally not winning games anymore. It's really frustrating.
So would you say that you like it less now that you're not kicking everyone's butt?
Now that I'm not winning, since I'm playing against people who are actually at my difficulty level, very frustrating, this intelligent ranking system. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what? That's an interesting point, because I've always found that, well, I like to say that the difference between a good game and a bad game is one where it's still fun when you start sucking, because everybody loves to play well. Everyone loves to achieve, right? If you're doing awesome in the game and it's fun, I mean, like, no duh, right?
Well, I don't know. A game that's too easy can get really annoying, too.
Obviously, there's exceptions. But, you know, by and large, right, it's generally harder to dislike something if you're not achieving at it. And then if you're doing really crappy at a game, conversely, well, obviously nobody likes that, right? But if you
nobody
like
likes
that...
Nobody likes getting beat all the time, is what
right,
we're saying.
Right. But if you like that... Now, there's a keeper.
Yeah, like Geometry Wars. Considering a potential score
like
of infinity, and since I don't reach infinity, I'm therefore getting only a small fraction of the possible score, and I'm not doing well.
There you go.
This is what I'm saying. And in fact, not even getting a small fraction of the highest score on the leaderboards, which is also more pathetic.
Yeah, it always impresses me what kinds of scores people are able to get with... games
really?
Like that.
It's last time I checked, and this was months ago, 375 million.
Yeah, that? Yeah. That reminds me. You know, a couple years ago, a game called Gradius 5 came out. Yeah. This is like one of my favorite games ever.
Better than 1, right. 2, 3, and 4?
By I can't even tell you, like by parsecs better. It's incredible.
How different could 5 be from all the rest of them?
Well, the developer was different, actually.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, all of the design problems that were plaguing all the previous Gradiuses were just, by and large, erased. They had a completely different mechanics.
Slow, sluggish controls, boring enemies.
Well, you know, there was this whole thing. Well, first of all, the worst thing about that series was that when you got hit, you got sent back, which is very frustrating.
Wait a minute. So, doesn't the game that you built that just got released, the Red Star, require you to start from the beginning if you die?
Yeah, and after you've depleted your life meter, which, of course, you have... many, many hits to sustain before that happens.
Okay. So there's a difference.
It's not a one hit and you start over, which I agree is
egregious
is not,
at best.
It's very, very frustrating. Anyway, that problem solved. The game's awesome. The thing that I wanted to bring up was they had a high score competition to promote the game, right?
Okay.
And they actually did an internet ranking in the U.S., which is really, really awesome because they hardly ever do that. They usually do that on the Japanese games. And... so I was like, all right, you know, I love this game. I was going to do the competition. I actually ended up getting, like sixth place or something.
Okay.
Yeah, this is really good. And I had, like, 3 million points, okay? And I was training on this daily. Okay, 3 million points.
I don't doubt it for a second.
The guy who got the high score got something like 16 million points, like, four times more than the next highest person.
Wow.
He was, like, some kind of prodigy from Norway or something. And that wasn't even his highest score. It was just, you know, because he had been playing it ever since, like, the original Japanese one came out. It was just the score that he just happened to submit because, you know, he didn't have time to just get a higher one.
Yeah.
And this is, like, a score you get if you're sitting, like, in a six-hour session in the game, like, looping through all the stages over and over. It's crazy.
See, I've seen stuff like that. And the one experience that comes to my mind, and it actually would be interesting to hear other people's stories of experiences with someone who's just absolutely amazing. And I guess last year at PAX, I saw the guy who's, I think, the number one guy for Geometry Wars, Playthrough Geometry Wars. That was a very educational experience for me because I saw him hit, you know, 7 million, 8 million, 9 million, just keep going, and he had to just let himself die at the end so that he wouldn't keep playing, right? Because there was something to be done on stage, and he was just sort of killing time before they started.
That's awesome.
And they were showing him off during that time. So that's one example. But what I thought immediately when you said that actually was... I was in Australia in 1999. I spent a semester over there while I was going to Indiana University, the school I went to before going to the University of Advancing Technology, which we talk about on the show all the time. So I went to IU before that, and I spent a semester in Australia, and oftentimes I would go to Sydney, hop on the train, head down to Sydney, and go play in the arcade because they had Dance Dance Revolution. I had no interest in playing any other game, but I played Dance Dance Revolution. This is the original DDR, the machine that had 11 songs on it, right?
Right.
There was no number two. There was no 3, 4, 5, 6, Supernova, Max, whatever. Didn't exist. Just the first one. And then while I was there, they also released Solo Bass Mix, which is extremely rare. Solo Bass Mix 2000, actually.
The DDR.
Yes.
I think I've seen one of those.
Six
ones.
Panels on it, right? Home games have the six buttons, but most of the arcade ones don't. So anyway, arcade one has six buttons. There's Solo Bass, or the Solo Mix, and then there's Solo Bass Mix 2000. Anyway, I'm getting off topic. So I'm playing there, and there's a whole bunch of Asian people in that area, right? As you can imagine, first of all, any big city, but on top of that, we're in, like, East Asia, right? Because it's Australia. Just south of East Asia. So there's a high Asian population, as we know.
And they love DDR.
They love DDR, yeah. And if they set their mind to it, they will kick ass at whatever video game they want to play. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I love my stereotypes. And so this guy jumps on, and he plays the hardest song on the hardest level, which now I look at, and it's super easy, right? But this is, you know, 8 years later.
It's probably in, like, complete invisible mode or something, isn't it?
Well, no, but it's like he was barely even paying attention to the screen. But he played in doubles mode, so he was playing both pads. He was playing in the expert difficulty, which I think is called maniac mode in that game.
Right.
And he was playing on the hardest song, which was, like, a level 6 back then. And he did the entire thing.
Those were the days.
Yeah, the entire thing, doubles, perfect. Every single step. And he had, like, these big Doc Martin shoes, boot things on, barely lift his foot off, right? And he just perfected it. And I was just, like, my jaw was on the floor. I think at the time, my girlfriend at the time was there, too, and I was like, yo, check this guy out, because I've seen him before. And it was amazing. I couldn't fathom how he did so well. Nowadays, I could probably do that same thing, because I've been playing it so long. But at the time, I looked at it and I just said, that is ridiculously amazing.
I'm actually surprised at how much, you know, especially like those Bimani games, like DDR, how much the developers will accommodate players of absolute extreme level. Like, I think for Keyboard Mania, right, they had a ranking that you could get, right?
Yeah.
And then that was like if you got a perfect, like, or no misses, right? And then there's an S above that. And then there was a double S above that, where, like, basically your ratio of, like,
perfect to
goods was, like, almost, you know, nothing. It's insane.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, we're going to talk more about everything video gaming as soon as we come back. Stay with us, folks.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And here we talk about video games every week.
That's what we do, chatterboxgameshow.com. You can go through our chatterboxers if it's easier to remember. You know, I was telling some kids about our website this morning because I went to an elementary school.
I heard about that.
I discussed becoming a, not necessarily a game designer, but the different fields you could enter.
But you discussed or you're disgusted?
No. I discussed. I went there for career day, and I discussed with the chillins, like the jobs you could get in the game industry, right? I showed a little video from one of the Halo 3 making of videos that they were teasing us with months ago. And to show, like, hey, look, this person's talking about this thing, which is, like, character design. And then the next person comes in, and he's talking about modeling. And another person's doing 2D design stuff. And then the animators come in. And that wasn't the intention of Bungie when they made this video. But I was able to say, look, they're just talking to us about this game. And look at all the different jobs. There's the animators. There's the, you know, the composition artists. And there's the 3D guys.
You think they care about any of that other than, hey, it's video games?
Well, whatever it takes them, you know, pulls them into the room. Right, we're talking about the radio show and what I do here, and I referred to you all the time as being a game designer and doing level design as well, which is really important key, you know, part of game design these days. Because no matter how good a game you have, no matter how good the graphics, the physics, the storyline, like if you took the world of Halo and put everybody just in a square area and said, "All right, teams, go fight," that'd be a really boring game. Right, and so level design's really key, and I discuss these things. And
I'd like to think it's important, but it's funny because it's. And I'm not talking about level design, just game design in general. It's, usually gets short shrift, unfortunately.
What do you mean?
In game development. Well,
you don't always get to include what you want?
No, it's not so much about that. It's that, especially in large projects that are, you know, big budget and high technology kind of stuff, usually the visuals will take a much, much higher priority and get a lot more attention than, you know, the mechanics of the game, for example.
Yeah.
It's mostly about looks. It's mostly about appearances. It's mostly about, you know, the stuff that I really care about, which is, you know, the actual details of the mechanics, the actual rules of the game. You know, it usually gets kind of like glossed over, you know, and that's one of the things.
Sidestepped for the graphics, you mean?
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's what frustrates me most about, you know, working in games, is that, and there's a million reasons for it, and I don't know how much depth we want to go into tonight about that.
Oh, this is an interesting topic, but I imagine that one of the reasons you liked working on the Red Star so much was that you were actually paying attention to stuff that wasn't just the graphics in the game.
Right. Well, you know, another way to put it is that, you know, there's a lot of different ways that you can approach making a game, right? For example, you can say, okay, I have this theme, right? I want to have a space opera or something. And I want it to look like this, and I want it to look like that. Okay, or like, I have a story, and now I want to make a game out of it. That's one way to do it, right? Another way to do it is, you know, I have this mechanic. There's something interesting. There's some kind of interaction. I don't know. This is just off the top of my head.
Jumping
right?
Flash is an example of a mechanic that
right,
had a game built around it.
Right, or something even as simple as, you know, I have a bunch of candles or something, and I want to, like, light candles, and, you know, things can... You know, if you light it for too long, it can blow up by itself, or just like some kind of interaction, and then you can make a game out of that, right? Well, most of the big budget games, they all come out, they start out kind of thematically. Like, what's the concept of the game? The concept of a game is more like a movie concept, in that it's usually about the theme. It's usually about, you know, what's the basic subject matter? What's the story about? And the mechanics, oh, we'll figure out the mechanics. We want it to kind of feel like this, but we'll figure it out later. And that's usually the attitude that...
So do you mean kind of like how everybody sees Grand Theft Auto as a game where all you do is beat people up, when really the underlying game is actually quite good? At least some of the mechanics that it introduced to the games industry?
I guess. I mean, you know, I have my criticisms of that game.
Yeah, but it certainly did some things really, really well, right? And people focused on the theme of the game, which had nothing to do with really the gameplay.
Yeah, you could put it that way. Sure.
All right. So, yeah. How do we get onto this from my talking to kids? I don't remember how we...
I think I basically just started, like, just blabbing and interrupted
you. It's a good
you.
Thing I didn't have you there. You would have totally brought the place down.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
all right, kids,
know.
Wait a second. It's not all glitz and glamour. You get really depressed.
They don't want to hear about the seedy underbelly of
I'm smoking three packs a day. I'm addicted to sweet tarts. and I can't lift my ass off the couch.
No, but I mean, it's not all bad. It's just that, you know, the reason for the way things are is mostly because when you see a game, when you hear about a game, when you even watch a game, it's not really the game mechanics that you notice. You notice the visuals, you notice the concept, you notice the overall feeling of it. And it's only when you actually play the game where you notice, you know, the real game essence to it.
You know what? Pen15 on our live forum, yeah, our live chat, he just noticed how you're trying to make games romantic by including candles.
I'm touched, Pen15.
Yeah. Thank you for that, by the way. I was still glad that I got to introduce these ideas to the kids. It was good times.
No, that's very cool.
Like, I think I talked to three different groups of kids.
I'm actually, like, trying to imagine what it would be like me in first grade and having somebody come in and talk about video games.
It was 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, because it's junior high, end of the year, moving to high school. We have to convince them to stay in high school to then maybe go to college so that they might do something with their lives other than beat people up and steal things.
I get it.
That's the goal. You know, because we're trying to steer kids in the right direction.
All right.
Not that they were kids who looked like they were going in the wrong direction. I think I'm giving the wrong implication there, but it was a good time. And allowed us to discuss game design for a good 2 minutes, so I'm happy about that.
Cool. Well, I want to switch gears here for a second, unless we've got something burning.
No. Go right ahead.
As you may know, as many of you out there may know, the Forza 2 demo was released on Xbox Live.
My buddy Johnny, he got on that and he said, "Wow, I hate this."
And remarkably, I had the exact same reaction.
That's so surprising.
And I don't know how many minutes we have left, but I'm probably going to use them all up and more ranting about this.
What can Ara complain about next? All right.
Because this is one of the things that annoys me the most about, you know, they're pretty much doing the same thing that they did in Forza 1.
Which is what? Make a game that feels kind of slow?
And it's not just that. See, it's more precisely retarded than that.
Now, so they did a more keen job of making it a bad game this time?
They really did. And it's so characteristically Microsoft. Because what Microsoft is really known for messing up, right, is that they will kind of take something and they don't really understand the whole essence of what it means. And so they'll make something like a racing game, and they're like, okay, we're going to make, you know, a racing game, and it's going to be the most realistic game, and, you know, you're going to forget about Gran Turismo, and it's going to be awesome. And they just do it in such a way that completely ignores the human element of game design.
Can we get it out of the way here? First of all, you do or you don't like Gran Turismo?
Gran Turismo, I have criticisms of everything, right? But Gran Turismo is pretty flippin' awesome.
Yeah. In case it wasn't clear to everyone who listened to the show for more than 5 minutes, Ara loves the cars and the car games.
I love the cars. I love the car games. I hate the Forza 2. And here's why. Forza 2 is really awesome as a simulation. Okay. Very, very precise simulation. They've gone totally over the edge with this, in fact. They give you telemetry while you're racing of the heat on your tires at three different sample points for each tire. Okay. That's crazy. I don't know when you would want to know that except when you were racing and you needed to, like, align your suspension to get maximum grip, whatever. Anyway, for all that stuff, like, it's a really cool toy. Like, you get to see, like, how much horsepower your car's putting out at any engine speed, all this crazy stuff. It's very detailed. It's a very, very fine simulation. But as a game, it's total bunk because what have they done? They've basically taken all of the inputs for a car, right? Steering, throttle, brake, etc. And they've just mapped it directly to the controller while making absolutely no accommodations for the fact that the controller is completely different interface-wise for
than a steering wheel
and then a real car. And this is why the mechanics of a game like Gran Turismo are so much better. Because in Gran Turismo, everybody says it feels realistic and it's a realistic game. It's actually not. The beautiful thing that they did in Gran Turismo is that they've made the appropriate accommodations for the translation in the interface. It's a controller, so you can't map, you know, the whole travel of the accelerator directly to, you know, the button or the trigger or what have you. It doesn't work. You have to change things because it's, you know, you can't modulate a controller the way you can modulate a steering wheel or modulate a gas pedal. And even these aftermarket, like, steering wheel controllers, I mean, it's still not the same. You get, there's all kinds of feedback that you get when you're actually driving a car that you'll never get when playing the game. So you can't do something like a straight-up simulation. It doesn't work. It's not, I mean, it's a pain in the butt to play.
Let's start right here. When you say feedback, you mean like feeling the G's on your body
yeah,
as you make a turn.
You can feel the car. You can feel what's happening to the car. You know, there's, you know, people who race know things like, you know what, if you're driving at the limit of adhesion, which means you're going as fast as possible for the amount that you're turning, if you do something like brake, you're going to totally spin out. Okay, this never happens in video games. The reason why that you can do that in a car is that you can feel what's happening to you. But you can't feel that in a video game, so you shouldn't do that in a video game.
For the record here, Ara knows what he's talking about, because one of the first things I ever did with Ara was go with him to the racetrack where he took his nice fancy car and literally raced around a track with a helmet and everything, because he likes to do that stuff.
So, more complaining coming up.
Not in my Mitsubishi Galant. We'll be back after the break, everyone.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
During the break, what our listeners might not realize who are listening over the internet, or rather listening to the podcast, is that between segment 2 and 3, we get CNN News. And it's very, very, very rare that I would actually include that in the podcast. I did once a couple weeks ago.
It's someone's birthday?
It's not someone's birthday, but that's the only happy music that Zach could find. So apparently they reminded us that Jerry Falwell died. Was it today or yesterday, Zach?
This morning he died of heart failure at like 9:30. It's kind of twisted, I suppose.
I guess if God were really on our side, he would have killed Jerry Falwell a long, long time ago. But
you're a total sicko, you pervert.
Yeah.
I'm going to step away from you because I'm anticipating this lightning bolt in about 5 seconds.
No, I'm very happy about this. I'm glad the man is no longer with us. So if anybody wants to send me some appreciative email of that, you let me know, because he was a giant dick, and I'm certainly glad that he's no longer with us.
Or you can call in, and actually we'd rather you call in about video games, but if you want to anyway, it's...
I was reminded, and I thought, hey, I've got this pulpit from which to...
The bully pulpit, perhaps.
to speak my mind, why not use 5 seconds to do that, or the 60 seconds that we've used so far?
But anyway, 866-536...
1100. We got it right up there, buddy. 866-536-1100. Tell me how much you love Jerry Falwell. And
tell me how much you love Forza 2.
He certainly didn't like us because video games are the tool of the devil.
I thought Jerry Falwell was from the Spice Girls.
Jerry Falwell? No, that was Jerry Halliwell.
Right.
Or is.
Right.
Dude, you don't...
They're virtually the same person. Come on.
Yeah. No, Jerry Halliwell, Jerry Falwell, very different people.
Anyway, you know, in my flurry of ranting in the past segment...
You were ranting?
I neglected to perhaps, you know, say all the words in between the words that I should have said.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, what was his name? Nameless Ted on our forums was asking some questions. And so...
He saw the Forza 2 demo last night at my very own home.
Very cool.
Firmly ensconced in the corner of my my couch.
So he was asking, well, is Ara saying that, you know, because you can't feel the car forces in Forza 2, it sucks? And just to address that, you know, obviously it's not what I'm saying.
See, I know what you were saying. I can interpret for you, since they apparently don't get it.
But, you know me, and sometimes I have to, you know, spell, you know, all the things from A to B to C so people can understand. But,
see, don't allow them to blame it on you. Blame it on them for being dumb.
But well, that's right. But, you know, I mean, like, you know me, so you already know my proclivities, right? So not everybody knows where I'm going with this.
See, I was listening. Is that the only difference, that I listened to what you said?
It's possible. But I did remember that one thing I didn't say was that, you know, when you have a game, right, I mean, like, obviously you can't feel what a real car is like, right? The mistake that Forza 2 makes is that they ask the player to modulate a car in a simulation of, you know, that whole physical thing, And they ask you to basically, you know, control things that if you were in a car, you'd be able to deal with them because, for example, you would, you know, feel that you were at the limit of adhesion or you would feel that your back end was coming out so you could do something about it. And in this game, because it's a video game, you don't feel those things, right? But they're asking you to make the same kinds of maneuvers and the same kinds of reactions without a proper, you know, in game design, we'll call it like a telegraph or the proper feedback. And that's the problem that I have. And yeah. that's why simulation games are really hard to play for a lot of people. It's not because it's a simulation or because it's just hard. It's because simulation games take basically, you know, they model some of the inputs and outputs of the interaction, and they completely ignore the other ones. But you know what? If you're actually going to have a mechanic that uses those things, you have to model the other ones. And in a video game, to do it right, you have to kind of make some transformations in order to accommodate that.
Yeah. So what you were saying, essentially, is they give you this ultra-realistic environment and then expect you to use a not-realistic tool to interact with this realistic environment.
Right.
Right. And so if they don't give you the tools...
They have to, right? You don't have... I mean, you're not in a car. It's not a car. You shouldn't...
Well, exactly. You're not pulling G's and you're not feeling wind in your hair. You know, all the things that affect driving, right?
Right.
So they can't ask you to care about these realistic feedback when you can't really interact with it in a way. They want you to pay attention to all this real data when you can't provide any response to that real data.
Right. And you know, some people, you know, people who like, I wouldn't say everyone, but a lot of people who like simulation games, part of the reason why they like it is it's really effing hard. And some people just really love that fact that it's just, it's really effing hard. And, you know, I don't think that's a good game. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. I personally prefer arcade-style gaming to realistic gaming in pretty much all situations. But whatever, you know, some people want the realistic gaming, and that's fine. What's funny to me, though, is that I never thought of Microsoft as the ultra-real simulation company, and I didn't think that Forza or Forza was that game. I just know that I played it, and it was kind of boring because it felt slow.
Right.
And
so and why does it feel slow? Because they're accurately modeling the whole car driving environment without giving you... I mean, like, why do we have things like speed lines or blurring or this kind of camera distortion in arcade-style racing games? We do it because just having stuff scroll by, just like it would be in real life, it feels slow. Even if it's accurately modeled, it feels slow. So that's an example of some of the, you know, compensations that you have to make in order to make something feel right instead of it actually being modeled right.
I think I better understand what you're trying to say now that you've elaborated, Ara.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
Yeah, I saw it and I had nothing. I don't know. I had very little desire to pick up a controller, and that is to say zero desire to pick up the controller and actually play, especially when I would have Catan to play.
Here's one more thing. I am shocked that nobody has been able to model cars that look better than in the Gran Turismo games.
Why? Just because Gran Turismo never really was that amazing in terms of graphics?
The cars in this game, they don't even look as good as the cars in GT3.
Have you seen the Gran Turismo HD?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly.
I mean, it's Gran Turismo 3, essentially.
Right. But. No, just the way that Polyphony, the developer of the GT games, the way that they model the cars, I mean, their process must be incredible because they look so much better. It's like it's in a complete different class than all other racing games. These look so much better than everything else.
I see. I can't tell the difference.
Not even close. I was looking at the cars on the, you know, the selection screen, and I'm just like, these cars look like hell.
Okay.
It's terrible.
I didn't notice this stuff. Maybe it's because I don't know enough about cars to know that they look good or bad. They just look shiny.
They just look shiny. They just look...
No, but in Gran Turismo as well.
Well, I don't know. Maybe have a thing for that.
They're no burnout shiny. Burnout's nothing but shiny, waxy cars. But that stuff I don't notice and I don't really care about either, so that's fine. Let's move on to some other topics here.
All right. I think I've extinguished my rant about this.
Yeah. I think Forza took up a lot of our time. I have a couple of things. I don't really know where we want to go here. One thing that I saw on xboxscene.com, not a site that I think a huge number of our listeners
this
pay
is
attention
like,
to.
This is like, is this one of those, like, you know, like this grayish, like fringe sites? Is that
yeah. It's like the Xbox Hackers website.
Ooh, yeah.
And they had a bit about Bunny. And I don't even know this guy's real name right now. It's not in my brain. But Bunny basically is
a hacker.
He's the
hacker called Bunny.
The guy who's most noted as contributing to the Xbox hacking scene. Because everybody knows you can mess with your Xbox to play, do whatever you want, right? You can put whatever program you want on the Xbox. People have made Step Mania, they converted it to the Xbox. People homebrew games all over the place.
Right.
Media players that Microsoft even looked at the media players to get ideas for how to build stuff into the Xbox 360.
You can steal someone's modded Xbox from work.
Yeah. So,
still pissed about that.
A modified Xbox is a very, very powerful and inexpensive computer. Well, very powerful.
Okay, you know what?
Relative, right?
To everybody listening out there, I have to interject this real quick. If you bought a modded Xbox off of eBay or something, and it has
Ara's name on it,
and it has my name on it, and it has a screenshot from Ace Combat 4 as the menu screen, that's my Xbox.
He's still very mad about that. Something tells me it didn't make it on eBay. Anyway, so Bunny, the guy who's credited, most credited, lots of people contributed to this, but he's most credited with hacking the Xbox, cracking it to get it to do whatever it can do now. He was literally at Microsoft talking about hacking the Xbox and hacking the Xbox 360.
Nice.
Like last week or last month or something.
That's awesome.
And he wrote about it on his blog, and you can read an excerpt of that at Xbox Scene. Anyway, we're going to break again. We will be right back after this, folks.
Welcome back, folks, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
We have our special guest engineer, Zach, tonight.
Thank you, Zach, for being part of the show. And I want to remind everybody. Thank you. Want to remind everybody to go to Chatterbox Game Show or chatterboxers.com to learn more about our show, to join in our live chat. We got people furiously discussing the Halo map situation and the Halo 3 beta that comes out tomorrow. Before we continue talking, I got to remind everyone to go to uat.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. They certainly helped make this show happen, so we're appreciative of that. So what I was just saying about maps. Oh, you know what? Before that, I got one of our listeners, right? He wants to go to PAX.
Yeah. All right.
I have all my plans to go to PAX. One of my friends back home really wants to go. She's got to get a whole, you know, plane ticket and everything together, right? It doesn't make a lot of these trips out there. So she got the hotel room, which, if you're coming, it's going to be like she and I and you and, like, maybe my brother.
Like 12 people?
Well,
your brother. I didn't even know you had a brother.
I do have a brother, and he said he wanted to go. So
real brother, not like a brother in arms or anything?
An actual brother.
Wow.
And so he might come out there. So, you know, our room is full. And beyond that, my friend Wes from St. Louis, who works on the Gamers Quarterly, you know, that magazine, zine thing, whatever that you saw in my house.
Was it? Oh, yes.
We've
That's
had that
nice.
On the show before.
That's nice.
Yeah, the Gamers Quarter.
Everybody go buy that.
So anyway, my point is, our room's going to be packed. But Bacon, big listener of the show, he's a chatterboxer, needs a place to stay. And so I'm confident that someone going to PAX has a spot for him. And I want to get the word out. I know that the All Games people helped me get a room when I needed a place to stay at GDC this year. So I'm returning, I'm paying it forward, right, the favor. So if anybody out there is going to PAX and has a spot for Bacon to sleep maybe in the tub or on the floor or in an extra bed if you only got, you know,
balcony space perhaps. If you have
whatever you got, email us. We'll pass on your information. He's a good guy. I bet. I don't really know who he is, but I bet he's a good guy because he's a chatterboxer and we only employ good people to listen to this show. And yes,
that's right.
Everyone who listens to the show is in fact employed.
Listeners undergo a very strict battery of tests.
Yes, and full background checks. Into their email addresses.
We're watching you, basically.
All right, so let me know if you're going to PAX and you got a place for him to stay, because it's going to be pretty tough for me to squeeze him into my place. We're kind of packed already. All right, so I was talking about Bunny. I actually don't want to go too much into it. I just thought it was a funny little anecdote that the guy behind the Xbox hacking ended up at Microsoft talking about it, and he was...
Did they arrest him after he left?
No. And like he's got a picture here with him and some people who developed the exploit for the Xbox 360, which we've never even talked about, but there was an exploit to run your own unsigned code on an Xbox 360, but Microsoft patched it so quickly that only a couple people who didn't update their systems and had very specific firmwares could do it. So you've got to have like all these things that basically nobody has because they want to update their system and play online. So anyway, like some people can do it, and they were sort of involved in that, and they talked to the security engineer, and it's just neat to see Microsoft on the one hand was really restrictive about letting people mess around with the Xbox, and they were like sued, I think, about against people were claiming they had a closed system PC and they weren't allowing people to develop software for it, and they were like, well, it's not a PC, it's a game console, when in reality, I mean, it's just a PC with a lock on it.
It's kind of a stretch to say that you can treat it as a closed PC.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, it is, right? But they're not selling it like one. You know, they're not saying, you know, use a general purpose computer, it can play games. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, the thing is, like, where nowadays everything's a PC, right?
Because
people have just custom designed PCs to do whatever they want. Like, a TiVo is just a Linux box, right? With its own software built in. Anyway, so it's kind of a weird line, and I don't know how much the law can apply without being adjusted for, you know, today's society and stuff. But it's really neat to see, on the one hand, Microsoft being opposed to certain things, but at the same time, they also are bringing in these guys who apparently could help them. Like, they brought the vulnerability that was in the 360. They brought it to Microsoft, and Microsoft, you know, talked to them about it and said that they were ready for it once they released it. So they said, we're not going to keep this information private, but we're willing to show it to you because it's probably something you want to fix. So go ahead, fix it, and then we'll release it to the world, and so they'll know about it, but it doesn't matter because you'll have it fixed anyway.
Well, I always prefer the friendly hackers as opposed to the malicious hackers. So.
Yeah.
And so, that's actually not a facetious remark. I think that
Microsoft, one thing that Microsoft did really well was embracing that, not part of the industry, but like that community. They looked at the media player, for instance, which is one of the most important pieces of software that's put on the hacked Xboxes, right? The Xbox Media Center. They looked at what it can do because it was one of the most popular pieces of software, and they said, "Wow, we want to introduce some of this functionality into the 360." And so they did that. You know, there was the Media Center connection on a 360 that gives you basically all that ability. It doesn't play some certain video codecs, like the Xbox can do pretty much anything, but they did a really good job of integrating some of the ideas and realizing that this is what the community wants, so we're going to include it. I mean, how many other systems at that time could do the sort of things that the 360 could?
Well, no other system was as massively hacked.
Yeah, well,
now, was it?
Well, I mean, the 360 came out, and they actually allow you to do all these things that before you couldn't. I mean, you can plug in your iPod and play music from it, so that's sort of cool. Anyway, moving on, in the 2 minutes that we have left, in the chat right now, Nameless Ted brought up something that I had actually meant to talk about a few weeks ago, but never really got around to it, and I deemed it less important than perhaps I should have. And this is the fact that it's my understanding, and I've been told this by multiple people. I haven't researched it myself because I haven't downloaded the new maps for Halo 2, the ones that came out recently. But supposedly, you can't play in a ranked match, which is essentially all you really do when you go and play online. Especially if maybe you don't have a big friends list or people who are on right now, you're going to probably go play a ranked match. And you can't play a ranked match if you don't have the new maps. And like they released the new maps and they're going to let people continue doing it for a while.
You mean at all, ever?
Yeah, like on a certain date, they're going to say, okay, you need to have the new maps if you want to play a ranked match.
Even if you're not playing on those maps?
Correct.
Wow. So basically if...
You have to pay more money if you want to continue using the service.
That's blackmail, dude. That is total blackmail.
Yeah, not too keen on this. Now, eventually, supposedly, they'll release the maps for free.
Because there's obviously, I mean, I don't understand why there's any technical reason why it should be that way.
That's the thing. I can't imagine one either. Now, I'm not the programmers. What do I know? But,
Well, the only thing I can think of is that maybe there's some kind of, like, I don't know, aggregate... statistics system where, like, if you didn't have those maps available or something, like, you wouldn't get accurate stats or whatever.
Well, it's certainly harder
But it sounds like hogwash to me.
It's certainly harder to join people in a game when not all of them are on the same level playing field, right? And, like, when you play the Counter-Strike online right now, you play on a server and it says everyone has to have this version of the game. It may not be the latest one. It could be that this server is running people with at least this version.
Right, but it's very, very convenient of them, isn't it, to do it this way?
Well, because they're asking not just for a free update. They're saying you have to have the paid update in order to continue playing online. And the thing is, we're already paying for Xbox Live. We already paid for the game. And when we bought the game, we were under the impression that it was going to allow this live, you know, online play. And now they say, oh, wait a minute, if you want to continue using one of the main components of this game, which you paid, you know, four plus the service, the live service.
You have to pay us
more. You have to pay even more. And so that's a bit of a stretch. And what I've said repeatedly is when we learned about all the microtransactions and all the various things that can happen, what you can pay for beyond just the game and the service, is what this means down the road. And consistently, we've seen Microsoft and whoever else was involved create a microtransaction, and we go, oh, this is what we were talking about. This is what we said was going to happen. And then it just continues to get worse, and it becomes accepted. They did it once, and then, okay, now everybody's going to do it, and it won't be surprising. And as long as it's not surprising, we're not going to get up in arms about it. But still, it really sucks. And imagine they do that with Halo 3 sometime. They say, oh, you're going to have to buy these new maps. You're not playing ranked.
Yeah, you know what? I feel like this is some kind of, like, cab ride in Cairo or something where, like, you pay the guy, and he's like, oh, I'm only driving here $20 more. And I mean, like, what is this? Come on. I mean, you're these shysters.
Yeah.
Give us what we paid for.
Now, again, they might release the maps for free one day, and then it wouldn't matter. Right? And I don't know. Maybe it's that, okay, not as many people
who paid for it would be pissed.
I don't know. There's all these ideas. Like, maybe not as many people are playing Halo 2 online anymore, so they have to make sure they're all on playing, you know, a level playing field, because it's going to be harder to match people since there aren't so many people playing. On the other hand, it's, I believe, still one of the most popular games played on Xbox Live, so it's got to be pretty easy to set up matchmaking. And then beyond that, you think, well, a lot of people have been playing Halo 2 lately in preparation for the Halo 3 beta that comes out tomorrow morning, which we're all very excited about, if we actually bought Crackdown. Right, Ara?
What are you saying?
Yeah, the Halo 3 beta that comes out tomorrow.
What's Halo 3?
So people have been preparing, so there have been more people than ever playing, which I'm sure is why they chose to release the maps sort of recently, to get the hype going for Halo. And but the fact that you have to pay for it, I don't know. I feel I'm still lacking in details
story. It's just straight up crap.
I can't think of a legit reason for it.
There isn't. I mean, they're fabricating something. I'm sure that they've constructed whatever kind of architecture they have in such a way so that perhaps it, you know, requires this to happen technically, but this is an architecture that they've fabricated themselves anyway.
Well, the thing is, I never heard of this requirement back when they released the maps in the past.
Yeah, because they made it up.
Yeah. So clearly, like, if they were able to do it in the past, allow people to continue playing ranked matches without having the new maps, then there's no reason to force it upon them now.
Well, I hope people don't fall for this, because really, like, this is kind of a test. This is a test of the consumers as a whole. And if people fall for this, they're going to do it again, just like you said. And
well,
if they
maybe
don't,
it's,
hopefully they won't.
Maybe it's because these maps really weren't very good. Like, one map was just this lame small room. And
that doesn't sound good.
It kind of reminds me of the Warlock level, just because it was real small. And then the other one was a recreation of one of the better levels in Halo 1, Hang 'em High, but they kind of ruined it because, like, they shrunk it. They didn't really shrink it. I think they just made all of the physical objects in the world larger, so it felt like it was smaller.
I see.
So I didn't like it as much, although it is still an okay level. But I never even played it. I just watched my roommate play it, and whatever. You want to spend the $4 on the maps? I'm playing Halo 3 beta tomorrow. Even if it takes me 20 hours to download because everyone's on it. That's another thing I wanted to mention. They should have built a BitTorrent client into the 360.
Well, that's asking for trouble.
Not real BitTorrent, but a torrent. All right. So we ran out of the closer music?
I ran out of music.
All of a sudden. All right. Well, show's over, everybody. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. This is Alon from Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.